Is the weirdest part about our research into female ninja the fact that in ancient times they were not trained with the same skills as their male counterparts?
Or is it that there is a controversy as to whether they even existed?
You guys will listen and tell us.
This is Wildcat Dojo Conversations.
Hi, I'm Sensei Michelle. Welcome to the show.
And I'm Sensei Jackie. Bad news. Landon is off adventuring again.
Wah, wah. But the good news is we have Sensei Lydia.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey, Sensei. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's good to be back.
It's nice to have an afternoon just to hang out together, isn't it, guys?
It is.
It surely is.
So I'm going to surprise you this week, Sensei Jackie. And I'm going to remember to say our sources.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm shocked, too. Here we go. Of course, we have a little bit of wiki action. You can't get by without a little bit of Wikipedia.
That's right.
But then we also used cageninjagear.com, yamatomagazine.home.blog, medium.com, and kiryoku.it. And I believe we even have a few more later in the show that we cite.
I think so.
So let's get to it. Female ninja. I really never gave it a thought. Then a week or so ago, something came across the screen and I got curious. I think I always assumed that they just existed. Did you guys think the same way?
I just figured that they had male and female ninjas and didn't consider it at all.
I didn't consider it either.
They have male and female karateka and warriors. So why would they not have ninjas?
And also the samurai. They also had the male and the female.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going to head out with this, Sensei Jackie?
Well, we're going to begin with the Japanese word for female ninja. It's kunoichi. The concept was made popular by Yamada Futaro in a writing called The Kouga Ninja Scrolls.
Puss, I read that, but I saw two different publishing dates. One was 1959 and one was 1964.
Puss, I also read that, and I also read that he was prolific and he seems like an interesting character. Maybe sometime we'll have the opportunity to talk about him. Probably not later this show, but maybe sometime.
Yes.
And I'm going to push us on with the word for a male ninja is a shinobi. Needless to say, we've done the ninja episode. So, of course, we'll tag it in the notes.
Yes.
Let's get back to the female, Sensei Lydia. What did you find?
Well, Sensei, like a lot of the history we investigate, there are conflicting viewpoints. Some say there were no female ninja, but they are mentioned in the scrolls that were written in the 1600s. It's called the Secret Denshu.
Yes. According to that document, women were used as spies, to infiltrate, and as assassins. It even mentions that they would disguise themselves as geisha, mistresses, concubines, and maids.
That matches what I read. They weren't trained in exactly the same way as the men. Because they were used as spies, they were trained in misdirection and in deceit.
That's true. But they did learn to fight. They learned weapons, including the fan, which we call the tessen, and short blades, such as the wakizashi.
Yes. They also learned to use the niko te, which are razor-sharp metal claws. The claws are connected with leather straps and are a few inches long. Of course, they were used to scratch and tear, but they could also use them with poison on the tips.
So how cool is this? And also, how X-Men?
So unbelievably cool.
I like it too.
We're in awe.
Oh my goodness. This is already too much fun for me. So in case we didn't make it actually clear, there is a controversy over whether female ninja existed because of the secrecy of the ninja training. There's so little documentation on this. But we found some information about two alleged famous female ninja. So let's have some fun with that. I said a lot of F's just now. Famous female ninja fun?
Fantastic. All right, I'll be glad to start. There's a woman named Mochizuki Chiyome. She was a poet and a noblewoman in the 16th century. She was also a descendant of a ninja named Mochizuki Izumo no Kami of the Kigaru.
Wow. Long name, guys.
You think?
Jeez.
That is some name. Anyway, she became the wife of a samurai named Mochizuki Moritoki. Her husband died, so she became the ward of his daimyo, Takeda Shingen. The daimyo was the leader of the Takeda clan. He approached her and asked her to find other women who might work in espionage. She was tasked with building them into a secret female force.
That is so ninja. I love it.
And it was cool how she did it. She pretended to be helping homeless and poor women who needed help, but she secretly trained them. And like we mentioned, they were trained as spies in the art of seduction and even how to poison.
Nice.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
Because women were seen as invisible, they were wonderful at espionage and were responsible for collecting massive amounts of covert information.
Can't you just picture it?
I actually kind of can.
So I can add one more thing.
Me too, but you go first.
Thanks. It is possible that her army consisted of up to 300 women.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's so cool. Mine is that even though it's all written about one woman, Mochizuki Shiomi, the information may have been an amalgam of many women.
I can see that. And we've read about that so often in the histories that it wasn't just one person.
Right. I can see that too.
Me too. I'll move us on to another woman.
Us.
Her name is Yumemura Sawano. She also worked for the Takeda clan. She is mentioned in the scroll we talked about earlier. And she also allegedly created an army of spies and assassins.
Yes. All this seems to coincide with the idea of controversies and reality. Was there one leader who created an army of two, or is it all a myth? What do you guys think?
I don't think it's a myth.
I agree with you.
I think it's totally, totally possible.
What I think is that because of the way the world has been, where most of the writings and warriors were depicted as men, women were not seen as much, and that the men didn't write about them. They were just weren't that important to them. And that made it possible for these women to be so successful as ninjas.
That's actually a really good point.
And made them more dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Because you never would expect it. So, of course, you know.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the people like during the World Wars who were given secret knowledge and that they took that knowledge to their deathbeds.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so that the ninja women did what they had to do and then probably went on to live, quote, normal lives afterwards.
And I'm going to say it reminds me a little bit of a series like Upstairs, Downstairs, where the help inside the mansion knows everything because those people are invisible to the people who live in the mansion.
It's a really
right.
good point.
That's a good
yeah.
point. That's
so
a valid
everything
point.
Is said in front of them.
Right.
Speaking of fiction, one thing that I know is fiction is novels and video games. I found a novel where a woman ninja was the heroine. It's called The Battle of Sekigahara, and it's by Ryotaro Shiba. The battle actually happened. That's a real thing. It was a bloody, decisive event. Maybe someday we'll do a follow-up on that, okay?
Be interesting, yes.
Yeah.
But in the novel, the heroine led a life that sounds a lot like the life of Mochizuki Shiomi. According to the site Goodreads, it was first published in 2021.
Wow, that's so recent.
See, I think so too. And I do love a good book. I really want to do a fiction book on our book episode. So we'll have to think about this.
I think that's a good idea. Let's see how big it is. Thick.
Yeah, you know, we have issues there. I'm in the middle of reading one that's over 500 pages long, and I wonder if I'm actually going to get to the end. I'm trying.
You'll get there.
All right. Let's move on to female ninjas in movies and video games.
Us. I'll start with a 5-part film called Lady Ninja Kasumi. It was released in 2011. It's 5 DVDs and has about 4 hours of entertainment. According to IMDb, it is a live-action film. The plot is that she is orphaned, joins a band of female ninja, and gets vengeance on an unscrupulous swordsman.
Hey, maybe we'll be able to find the DVDs.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
I think so, too. Okay, we're moving on to video games. There are quite a few female ninjas in video games. A simple search on my part pulled up almost a dozen female characters that were kunoichi. As I was reading about them, I got to thinking, how many actual video games are there?
So, of course, you looked.
Of course, I had to. You knew I had to, right? According to National Video Game Day, there are over 5 million.
Okay, but continuing with the world of controversy, according to Quora, there are only 64,000.
And I'm
only?
And I'm going to start out with only? I have no idea how many. So, hey, if you're out there, you're going to tell us what you think or what another site told you.
Us.
The reason I brought this up is because the female ninja in video games, they were just fighters. They didn't necessarily have the skills that we associate with ninja. Things like stealth, dressed in black, deceit, that kind of thing. And they definitely were not spies. So I'm going to throw this out to the audience, along with that earlier question. Do you play any of the games that incorporate female ninja? And if so, which games do you play? And are any of the roles anything like what we've been talking about? Okay, we got to tell them how to get in touch, Sensei Jackie.
Well, it's really easy to get in touch with us. We are all over the web at Wildcat Dojo. On Instagram, we're Wildcat Dojo Conversations. And if you'd like to send us an old-fashioned email, we're at dojoconversations@aol.com.
Thanks, Sensei. So back to the video games. The amount of video games got me to thinking about what games were the most popular. Can you see how I went down that rabbit hole?
Absolutely. Yes.
And just like the actual number of video games, different sites bring slightly different results.
You gotta love the internet.
But one of the popular ones is Street Fighter, and it has a female ninja.
Yes, it does. But so does Mortal Kombat. And it's still a game people are playing these days.
Even though it's been around for a long time, it made the top lists.
Amazing.
I agree.
Good music.
So I agree. And it's a whole franchise, movies and everything.
That's right.
So let's talk about these female ninjas. Give me the lowdown. Who's going first?
Okay, I'll start. I used Wiki Fandom to search out Ibuki. She is a ninja in Street Fighter. She was introduced in Street Fighter 3, New Generation. She is a ninja in training. They say she is from an ancient ninja clan, but would rather live like a modern, regular teenager. You know what, Sensei? I was amazed at how much backstory these characters get. They talk about the characters' pets, their likes, how they dress. And of course, they talk about their fighting techniques. It is mind-boggling how much details they put into these characters.
I guess we're missing out here. Or maybe I just don't have enough brain space to hold video game characters along with all the other crap that's living up there.
I hear you.
I don't know. It's pretty interesting, though, to find out all these things about a character.
Exactly. The same thing happens in television or streaming devices. You get involved in the character's life and you want to know how they came out, even though they're fictional.
Right.
Yep, that's true.
And even some of the series will have another series based on the early life of whatever the character was.
Or a spinoff.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's another one.
Exactly.
But let's get back to it. Are we at Kitana from Mortal Kombat? Is that another female one that we're going to go with?
Yes, we are, Sensei. But first, let's remember that the video game world takes their characters very seriously.
I don't know about the remember part because I really didn't know it until I started looking into all these video games, but go on.
Well, it leads me to the fact that there's a huge online disagreement about whether the females in Mortal Kombat actually are ninja. Reddit says Kitana is a ninja, but GameSpot says that back in the 90s when she was invented, she fit the character profile of a ninja. It says that she might not make the cut by today's standards.
Back in the 90s, GameSpot, that's good enough for us. What's she like?
Well, she debuted in 1993 as a personal assassin. Then, yeah, that's not bad. Then it turned out she was a princess.
Ooh.
When I was reading all the backstory, I started thinking how these characters read a lot like soap operas. Backstabbing, betrayal, and of course, unrealistic deaths and rebirths.
That's funny. It is funny. And I think you're right, because I was doing a little reading 100%. And I thought the same thing.
The characteristic, though, that we like the most about our character, Katana, is that she uses Tessin, steel fans.
We love fans.
Yes, we do. And we did an episode on that, too.
So, of course, we're going to tag that puppy into the show notes. You can go down and listen. We're super fans of fans.
We are, but I do think it's funny that her name's Katana, which is sort of a play on the sword and that she uses fans. But
and for those of you who don't read about video games, her name is not spelled the same as the sword, the katana.
Yes.
It is spelled K-I-T-A-N-A.
Yes.
Kit.
Mm-hmm. Katana. I'm going to push us on to a kind of a personal little fantasy here. Say you were, look, Jackie made eyes at me like I was going to do something icky. Say you were allowed to have any of the weapons that we mentioned here today, or some kind of variation that you just loved, and say there was going to be no big problem with having it made, carrying it, abiding by the law, the whole thing, you could just have it. What would it be? Start me out, Sensei Lydia.
Oh, you know, I like the expandable weapon that, you know, you can put it in your hands and it fits in the palm of your hand, and you can hang on to it, goes over your knuckles with Velcro to attach it. And then all you have to do is just flick your wrist and it opens up.
So it's like the expandable nightstick.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's an actual real weapon that a person could buy at a police store.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. You know, I have one and I
love them.
I carry it with me when I'm out walking at night.
Good. And it could easily be put into your pocketbook.
Exactly. So it's really invisible.
Or even into a pocket.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
So she went realistic on us. And I like that because I do love that weapon.
And I'm going slightly unrealistic. I really want an invisible knife.
Ooh.
And I could take it out of wherever it is and use it the way I need to. But I was thinking about the tip of the blade, how I think that it should be somewhat rounded with two little points on it, like a snake's tongue.
Ooh.
So that you could hook onto things as well as cut.
You know what? I like that. Unless you could put the fish hook on the end of it, but then it would be hard to retrieve it. Well, not bad on you, but on them it would be to stab them a second time.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because you both know me so well, that I'm going to go with the claws.
Absolutely. We knew it.
I love the claws. I cannot not love the claws. I believe that I'm going to go talk to my guy who welds, which I have, guy who welds. I like him. And I go see him sometimes just to keep that door open and see if something could be made. Even if I couldn't wear it all the time, what if I could just have it? It's part bracelet, part back of the hand decoration, and part gotcha. Mm-hmm.
I think not only could you wear it over the back of your palm, you could fix it under your palm too, so that your fingers went over it. And then
because I want mine to go out right over the knuckle, so the knuckle is still fisted.
Oh, I see.
That's why I want him to shoot out.
I can see that. Yeah.
So you guys are going to be getting in touch with us for all kinds of reasons. And one of them could be, what's your favorite fantasy weapon?
Oh, yes.
Us?
We'd like to know.
All right, guys. It is time, I hope, for us to do the end of the show. Hellos, goodbyes, and thank yous.
And don't forget, we have a very good friend in Atlanta.
Honor Athletics.
Of course.
Please support Cynthia at 770-945-5150. She's awesome.
She is. And if you don't want to remember the phone number, just scroll down in the show notes, and click the link or go to honor-athletics.com.
And of course, say Wildcat Dojo for your 10% discount, also known as free shipping. Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
So at the same time as you're being so benevolent, remember that we have a click about 2/3 of the way down our show notes that says support the show, and that's what happens when you click on it. We would love that.
Yes, we could use a little bit of support.
Anytime. Thanks for thinking of it. Okay, Sensei Lydia, it was fun just like I promised.
It definitely was. And thanks again. It was definitely an interesting episode. And
I agree.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's always my pleasure.
Well, and it made us feel like three ninjas.
There you go.
I can tag that episode in because Ben had us watch the Three Ninjas.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Ben had us watch the Three Ninja movie.
That was such a cute movie.
Oh, see, you should have come to that episode. Okay, guys, it's time for us to do it.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
And I'm going to sign us off.
Thanks for being here. Hope you join us again next week on Wildcat Dojo Conversations.